news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
On the second day of the Senate Judiciary Committee's confirmation hearings for Donald Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Amy Coney Barrett, she wouldn't say how she'd rule on abortion, health care, marriage equality, or the election. Talk about stonewalling. Although the nominee took questions on lots of hot-button issues, she answered none of them. Dianne Feinstein asked if she thought Roe v. Wade was wrongly decided.
It's distressing not to get a straight answer. So let me try again. Do you agree with Justice Scalia's view that Roe was wrongly decided?
Senator, I completely understand why you are asking the question, but again, I can't pre-commit or say, yes, I'm going in with some agenda, because I'm not. I don't have any agenda. I have no agenda to try to overrule Casey. I have an agenda to stick to the rule of law and decide cases as they come.
Do you agree with Justice Scalia's view that Roe can and should be overturned by the Supreme Court?
Well, I think my answer is the same because, you know, that's a case that's litigated. It could, you know, its contours could come up again. In fact, do come up. You know, they came up last term before the court. So I think, you know, what the Casey standard is, and that's just, it's a contentious issue, which is, I know, one reason why it would be comforting to you to have an answer. But I can't express views on cases or pre-commit to approaching a case any particular way.
Barrett says that Antonin Scalia was her mentor, but wouldn't say if she agreed with his legal opinion against marriage equality. She also refused to say she'd recuse herself from election-related disputes.
Any judge or justice should recuse themselves from a case in which their impartiality might reasonably be questioned. Given what President Trump said, given the rushed context of this confirmation, will you commit to recusing yourself from any case arising from a dispute in the presidential election results 3 weeks from now?
Senator Coons, thank you for giving me the opportunity to clarify this, because I want to be very clear for the record and to all members of this committee that no matter what anyone else may think or expect, I have not committed to anyone or so much as signaled. I've never even written. I've been in a couple of opinions in the Seventh Circuit that have been around the edges of election law. But I haven't even written anything that I would think anybody could reasonably say, oh, this is how she might resolve an election dispute. And I would consider it, let's see, I certainly hope that all members of the committee have more confidence in my integrity than to think that I would allow myself to be used as a pawn to decide this election for the American people. So that would be on the question of actual bias. And you asked about the appearance of bias.
Correct.
And you're right that the statute does require a justice or judge to recuse when there is an appearance of bias. And what I will commit to every member of this committee, to the rest of the Senate, and to the American people, is that I will consider all factors that are relevant to that question.
Barrett wouldn't even say if she thinks Trump can unilaterally delay the election. Hint, he can't.
Does the Constitution give the President of the United States the authority to unilaterally delay a general election under any circumstances? Does federal law?
Well, Senator, if that question ever came before me, I would need to hear arguments from the litigants and read briefs and consult with my law clerks and talk to my colleagues and go through the opinion writing process. So, you know, if I give off-the-cuff answers, then I would be basically a legal pundit. And I don't think we want judges to be legal pundits. I think we want judges to approach cases thoughtfully and with an open mind.
You get the idea. That's how it went. In her high-pitched, monotone, robotic voice, she really said nothing. The Democrats' vice presidential candidate, Senator Kamala Harris, also sits on the Senate Judiciary Committee, so she too got to question Barrett. Harris used her 30 minutes on Tuesday wisely, laying out the case to the American people about why the Democrats have focused so much of this hearing on the Affordable Care Act. You see, Barrett would be replacing Ruth Bader Ginsburg. It was her vote that kept the law in place. Harris driving home the fact that the Republicans are rushing this nomination through to get Barrett seated before they hear the administration's case to overturn what's left of the Affordable Care Act in a hearing already scheduled for November 10th. And day three of the hearing is getting off to a similar start, with Barrett refusing to answer Senator Patrick Leahy's question on whether a president can refuse to obey the law, and she once again leaving open the possibility that the president could pardon himself. Thanks to the Republicans stealing one seat, you know, they blocked even a hearing for Obama's nominee Merrick Garland after Antonin Scalia died for almost a year. And then they filled a second vacancy after Anthony Kennedy unexpectedly and suddenly announced his retirement last year. I wish someone would look into that. The court is already lopsided to the right. And on Tuesday, the current 8-member court offered us a harbinger of rulings to come. They allowed Trump's administration to immediately stop the counting of the population for the 2020 census. The justices overruled a lower court ruling that had ordered the counting be continued until October 31st. The accuracy of the census count is critical. It's what determines how the U.S. House of Representatives and state legislatures draw voting districts during the next round of redistricting. It also guides the federal government in allocating $1.5 trillion each year in aid. Ending the count early, before it's complete, is a blow to civil rights groups concerned about an undercount, particularly of racial minorities. Justice Sonia Sotomayor dissented, possibly even buying us an extra day or two of counting, but it will officially end Thursday night at 11:59 p.m. Hawaii time. So if you haven't yet responded to the census, do it now. Just go to census.gov and be counted. But wait, that's not all. The Supreme Court also shut down the emoluments lawsuit brought by congressional Democrats that accused Donald Trump of violating anti-corruption provisions in the Constitution with his business dealings. The justices refused to hear an appeal brought by 215 Senate and House Democrats of a lower court ruling that found that the lawmakers lacked the necessary legal standing to bring the case. There are still two more similar lawsuits filed by an advocacy group and Democratic attorneys general working their way through the courts. The other big story, of course, deals with our global pandemic. The headlines are screaming that U.S. coronavirus cases are rising again rapidly. They've been trending upwards for almost a month now, and the U.S. is now reporting over 51,000 new cases each day. It's the highest 7-day rolling average since August 16th. But in keeping with their way of doing things, the White House is abandoning any science-based protocols to stop its spread. Again, more than 215,000 Americans have already died from the virus, and new projections are dire. But it's under that backdrop that the White House has reportedly embraced a declaration by a group of scientists arguing for a herd immunity strategy to deal with America's coronavirus pandemic. I should note that the validity of that declaration came under question due to a number of apparently fake names among its expert signatories, including Dr. I.P. Freely, Dr. Person Fake Name, and Dr. Johnny Bananas. Legitimate experts like Dr. Anthony Fauci have been sidelined, only to be replaced by a Fox Not News quack named Scott Atlas, who's not an immunologist, who's not an infectious disease specialist. He's a radiologist. He reads x-rays. But he's been pushing the herd immunity idea inside the White House. In other news, Donald Trump has made no secret of his directive to his Attorney General Bill Barr to find some dirt to throw the election his way. But Department of Justice investigators thankfully seem to have not gotten the memo. The Washington Post reporting on Tuesday that the federal prosecutor Barr appointed to review the unmasking of names and intelligence documents by Obama-era officials has finished his work without making any criminal charges or even releasing a public report. Conservatives have argued that Obama administration officials used it to reveal the name of Trump advisor Michael Flynn in intelligence documents in late 2016 and early 2017. Again, to clarify, the federal prosecutor appointed by Attorney General William Barr to review whether Obama-era officials improperly requested the identities of individuals whose names were redacted in intelligence documents has completed his work without finding any substantive wrongdoing. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.